No, that's not Jeremiah. It doesn't even say Jeremiah, it says Zedekiah. But I put this together today, and so I didn't have time to perfect it yet. And this is not what will be appear in the final version. We want to continue our studies in Mastering the English Bible, the prophetic books. And we have finished Isaiah, and we want to move now to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. And I hope you brought your Bible student hat. And are focused on these things and intent on getting everything you can. And getting, if you're a young person, getting a foundation to build upon for the rest of your life. If you're a parent, to continue to build the foundation of your marriage. The father as the spiritual head of the home. The mother as the keeper of the home. That's a big, very big responsibility. Doesn't just mean a servant around the house, staying at home. It's a word in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that means governor. And she is under the husband, the governor of the home. Big responsibilities that God has given us. And it requires good knowledge of the Word of God to do anything we're called to do as God's people. We're called to be priests. We're called to be soldiers. We're called to be ambassadors. We're called to be teachers. And so, requires training. Jeremiah. Love book of Jeremiah. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So Jeremiah began to prophesy 13 years into Josiah's reign. It came also. And so there's a pause there. And of course there were no verse divisions originally in the Bible. But there's a pause there naturally. Josiah, between Josiah and the rest of these guys, because Josiah was the only godly king that's listed here. And it was all downhill after that. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Jeremiah, and his name means exalted of Jehovah, Urim, Yahu, Jehovah, Urim, Yahu, exalted of the Lord. That's a great name. He was of the priest of Anathoth. We read that in verse 1. And that was a walled city, a Levitical city, just 2.5 miles from Jerusalem, 2.5 miles from the Temple Mount, and a little bit northeast, just right there. You could see Anathoth from Jerusalem. You could see Jerusalem from Anathoth. And that's where Jeremiah was from. And those folks there, his hometown, wanted to kill him, plotted to kill him, as God told Jeremiah, just like they did with Jesus. Anathoth. And so he prophesied during the reigns of the final five kings of Judah, Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, Zedekiah. That was the wrap-up. Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the kingdom, and it's never existed again. When the city was rebuilt and the temple, no king has ever since been appointed. The theme of Jeremiah, what we've always got to do before we can understand any book of the Bible or any verse in the Bible, is stand back and understand the theme. And what is this book all about? And the theme is Jeremiah's prophecy in dark times. It's very much like our times. Very much like our times. He prophesied to Israel in the final days of the kingdom. I mean, it's over. Looked like there was going to be a little revival. There was, but it didn't go into the hearts of the people. And when the king died, revival was finished. It was just downhill from there, dark, dark. The northern kingdom had been destroyed more than a century before. Northern kingdom's gone. That was the biggest part of Israel. It's gone. Samaria's gone, destroyed. It's in ruins. And only little Judah remained of the once great kingdom. That was Jeremiah's time. That great military that Israel was once famous for, the mighty men, gone. All gone. Mighty men. Didn't even have enough horses to see the cavalry. Time of terrible apostasy. Israel was still claiming to be love Jehovah, but it was total apostasy. Total apostasy. Jeremiah was called at such a time to call the nation to repentance. And he was told that they weren't going to repent. Now that would be a hard job. I'm thankful I don't have that job. I've seen a lot of fruit. I've seen a lot of encouragement in my ministry. Jeremiah did not. After Josiah, Jeremiah was there. He saw that revival. And then he's dead. Josiah is dead. Went out to fight the king of Egypt when he should not have. But he did, and he was killed in that battle in Megiddo, as so many have been killed in Megiddo. And so Jeremiah's nation is on the last leg. He loved that nation. You know, people love America. I do. I understand the value of America in light of history. I understand the value of these liberties, the price that was paid. I understand it quite well. I've studied it. Love America. And to see what's happening, it's, yeah, heartbreaking. But that's where Jeremiah was. And his beloved nation, it's just going to die right before his face. His eyes, the nation's leaders were wicked. Does that sound like our times? The preachers were wicked. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 23:11. The preachers were wicked. The people were wicked. Jeremiah 23:10. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. Does that sound like America? It sounds exactly like America. The political leaders were wicked. The preachers were wicked. The people were wicked. But all saying, tons of people still saying, we love Jesus. Christians. Christian nation, you know. But Jeremiah was eyewitness to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. He was there. He was there in the siege. He was there in the famine that happened because of the siege. He was there. He was hungry there. He was down in a pit part of that time. He was there. He saw it. He saw the slaughter and all the terrible things that the Babylonian soldiers, they were not known to be kind and gentle. The Babylonian soldiers. And he saw it all. And he wept, and he's called the weeping prophet. He's called the weeping prophet. And his weeping reached its apex in his Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, 5 chapters. It's all about weeping. He's standing there looking at those ruins, and he's weeping. But really, he's a prophet. He is a reflection of God. God was weeping. Yeah, God wept. God did that to Israel. He did it. Babylon was the hammer of God. God smashed Israel. But God wept. He got no joy in it. And 600 years later, 600 years later, the Son of God wept over Jerusalem again and prophesied its second destruction at the hands of the Romans. But he wept in Luke 19:41-44. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, too late. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee about, and keep thee in on every side. That's exactly what the legions did. They dug a trench around Jerusalem to keep the Jews inside. And they did it in a few days. They were magnificent builders, those legions. That's exactly what they did. They built a trench around there in fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. That's exactly what Rome did. But Jesus wept. And God, in Jeremiah's time, wept. And in the midst of this dark time, Jeremiah had hope. He had great promises that God gave him of God's protection and presence. Jeremiah 1:8, in the call. In God's original call to Jeremiah, he said, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And in verse 19, in that call, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." And then in chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. "And I will make thee unto this people a fence, brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and deliver thee, saith the Lord. I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible." He's talking to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, no matter what was happening, could see beyond the dark times to the bright future of the coming kingdom. Jeremiah had the very best prophecies about the new covenant and the coming kingdom. Jeremiah had that light in the darkness. And so Jeremiah is easily applicable to today, to a preacher today. Preacher today. Here's some of the ways. Preacher must stand alone for God in the midst of a rebellious generation. Must. If you're not willing to stand alone, you will surely compromise. The preacher will have many troubles today, just like Jeremiah did. He suffered loneliness and lies and slanders and threats and hatred and willful misunderstandings and temptations designed to make him stumble or compromise. Every preacher has to face all those things. Every preacher must preserve the scripture in the face of fierce attacks, like Jehoiakim, cutting up the scripture with a penknife. Throw it in the fire. There's not just one little Jehoiakim today. Jehoiakim is a whole multitude of Bible destroyers and mutilators. Have to stand for the word of God, preserve the word of God in a wicked, under fierce attacks today. He must deal, the preacher today, like Jeremiah, must deal with stubborn hearts and stiff necks. He'll have much discouragement and heartache. Absolutely. Without a doubt. In many cases, he'll have a small following and little fruit, most cases today. That's all you can expect. I used to say it was not that many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that we could compare America with Australia, with Canada, with England, and see that there was a dramatic difference in America, because you could preach in America and put a lot of work in America, not everywhere, but in a lot of places, and get some good fruit, get a church started. But in England, Australia, Canada, it's been a long time since that was true. But I tell you, America is becoming very much like those other nations just before our eyes. Very few people being saved that I know about in churches. I mean born again saved. I don't mean little children saying they believe in Jesus, because all little children believe in Jesus. I'm not saying children can't be saved. I'm talking about real conversions like we see in the book of Acts. I travel a lot. I don't hear about it or see much of it. People will move from another church, join another church. I'm talking about dramatic Ethiopian eunuch, Philippian jailer conversions becoming rare. I think some of that is because of the weakness. I think a lot of that is because of the weakness of the churches. But we are there in that time. You'll have to deal with the fact that he's in competition with a multitude of false teachers. In competition with a multitude of false teachers. That's what Jeremiah was facing. All kinds of prophets saying, don't listen to Jeremiah, doomsayer, gloomy old man. God's going to deliver us from Nebuchadnezzar. And he was all alone. As far as we know, well, there was one other prophet that's mentioned that ran down to Egypt and got killed. But Jeremiah was alone. And all these false teachers. That's exactly where we are. I mean, a church like this that believes the whole Bible like we do, literal interpretation like we do, we just believe the Bible in the old way. It is just weird. Weird kind of church. And multitudes of preachers out there that say, don't listen to them. You will have to preach righteousness in an unrighteous age. Yeah, that's what Jeremiah did. Righteousness in an unrighteous age, Jeremiah 23:20. Just a few ways that our time is exactly like Jeremiah's time and lessons that apply to a preacher today. Jeremiah 23:22. God said, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. That's what a true Bible preacher will do. People will either repent or leave. Something will give. Something will give. He had no better hope for better conditions. Had no hope for better conditions in his present time. We don't. There's a lot of talk about revival and this and that. And I think there's no hope at this time for that kind of thing. Just like Jeremiah, there was no hope that Israel was going to turn around. It was finished. He will be tempted to quit like Jeremiah was in Jeremiah 20 verse 9. I am not going to speak for the Lord anymore. It's too much trouble. Every preacher is tempted to quit. The harder the conditions, the more he's tempted to quit. What good is it? What value is it? It's too hard. It's not worth it. He has a high calling to be God's preacher in an evil generation. It's a high calling. We'll never regret standing for the word of God in an evil generation. He has the promises of the presence and help of God, just like Jeremiah had. Only we have more promises. He can draw nigh unto God and commune with God like Jeremiah did. We're going to look at Jeremiah's prayers. Jeremiah was a man of prayer, as all the prophets were, but God tells us more about Jeremiah's prayers than any of the others. Draw nigh to God. That's where our strength is. He should not seek great things for himself in this present world. That's another lesson. I was reading about this Hillsong chain of churches around the world. You know, I study about them because they're prominent and I want to know about them and I want to warn about them. And they're falling apart now. Just totally falling apart. It could have been predicted because it's all the flesh. But their finances are coming to light now. And the mother church over in Australia, they had a deal with big churches around the world, like this partnership you pay my preacher big bucks, I'll pay your preacher big bucks kind of thing. And T.D. Jakes, for example. T.D. Jakes, the big black preacher, he went to Hillsong, and one Sunday, just one service or one couple services, he made $150,000. And that's what I want from this meeting. And if you gathered all your money together, you wouldn't probably have that. So $150,000 in an hour like this. And one of the women preachers, she made nearly as much in one day of preaching. And God said, don't seek great things for yourself. The preacher must have faith in God's promises in the midst of darkness. Faith in God's promises in the midst of darkness. He must keep himself encouraged by God's promises. Yes. And we have great promises. And I am much encouraged. Most of the time, much encouraged because of those promises. And if I get discouraged, I know how to get undiscouraged. And I know it always works. And even though God won't take away our problems today, He will give us encouragement today. One of my favorite verses is in the Psalms. In the day when I cried, thou strengthenest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. There, that's all I need. Trouble's still there, but I'm all right. Let's go. And it's a promise. People just wallow in their cares instead of carrying them to God. We have the most amazing resources, saved people. The most amazing resources. And if I hear some of God's people that are down in the dumps, well, we're supposed to encourage one another. But brother, we have great resources. Where's God? If you're down in the dumps, where's God? Now, we want to show a few PowerPoints. To give the archaeological background of Jeremiah. And this is part of the pictorial Bible. This is PowerPoint number 20 in the pictorial Bible. And as we have gone through the Mastering the English Bible, through the Old Testament, we saw many portions of that. And they'll be edited into the videos in the final. And so just a few things here. Jeremiah's hometown. We mentioned Anathoth. There it is. Just a few miles north of Jerusalem. Just west, all that stuff, just west of the Dead Sea. The plain of Jordan. About 2.5 miles northeast of the Temple Mount itself. There it is today. Stopped by there one time, driving out of Jerusalem on the way to somewhere. And just a bunch of rocks, some grass. It was a walled city. It was a major little city in Jeremiah's time. There's a lot of ruins. It's never been excavated archaeologically. But there's a lot of ruins just on the surface. Stone-cut reservoirs where the water was kept. Here, Ethan, the guide, is standing there. And this is one of our trips where we did a lot of exploration. Just a couple guys and the guide. And that's Jeremiah's hometown. But for the background of Jeremiah, archaeology has unearthed amazing things. Literally amazing things. Primarily these clay seals called bula, clay seals that were found in the area of the palace where Jeremiah would come, where his scripture was cut up, where he was put into a pit, where he spent a lot of time. And right there, Babylon came and destroyed that palace and everything around it and burned it. And as the archaeologists have sifted through that going back to Nebuchadnezzar's time, they found these little seals that documents were sealed. The documents were burned. These little tiny, very tiny seals with names on them right out of the book of Jeremiah. Now here's a seal. You have a document, and then the seal is in wax, or not wax, in stone in those cases, but wax is one technique to describe how that thing worked. And so the document would be sealed together, and then the, yes, wax, but then the seal impression, the seal would make the impression in the wax. And that's exactly how it was done. Did we go too far? So the seals. One of the seals was Yahuko, son of Shalemiah, son of Shovi, grandfather, sealed with the name, those very words upon it. That won't work sometimes. All right, and I'll do that. That'll be it. We'll go to low tech. And so, there he is. That very man in the book of Jeremiah 37:3, Zedekiah the king sent Jehuco, son of Shalemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." Well, that man's seal has been found in that palace. Later, Yahugo was one of the princes who called for Jeremiah's death. So we see him multiple times in the Bible. Jeremiah 38. Then Shephatiah, the son of Bathan, and Gedaliah, the son of Peshur, and Yuko, the son of Shemaliah, Yuko or Yahuko, same guy, and Pashur, the son of Malchiam, said to the king, "We beseech thee, let this man be put to death." There he is in the pages of Scripture. And so, Yahuko, it gives his name, it gives his father's name, and that's exactly what is on this seal. Now, these seals, very, very tiny. Here she is pointing to one. Just a tiny little thing. Very difficult to see in a bunch of rubbish and burned stuff. It takes actually sifting. This is Elot Medzer, who I was very sorry to hear in 2021 that she died quite young. I was hoping to interview her sometime. She was not a Christian, but she believed that the Old Testament's history is accurate. That's how she found David's palace. She said the credit for its discovery, the little seal, goes to the Hawkeyes of Yod Farhi. Hawkeyes. He spotted it at the exact moment when the sun's rays illuminated the letters. And so it just caught his attention. Without this particular lighting, you can see nothing. Even when the bulla is lit from various directions, only letter fragments are visible. Lighting from a certain specific direction, however, suddenly illuminates all the letters as if by magic. And so she took that home that night, took it home, and she deciphered the name Yahuko. When I opened the encyclopedia and saw the same name in the Bible as in the bulla, I let out a shriek of surprise that rang out through the still house. Fortunately, the children slept soundly. I felt as though I had just resurrected someone straight out of the Bible. Yeah, it's amazing evidence. In the 1980s, 45 bulla were found in this area. We're going to show the area in a minute, but they by Yigal Shiloh. They were found in a house below the palace. And then below there were administrative rooms. That's where they found it. And he burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. Nebuchadnezzar. So here, sealed scroll, clay, not wax in that case, but clay bulla that the impression of the seal is put on. So they found, these were remains of an archive. They found the remains of a royal archive. The scrolls were destroyed by the fire, but the clay seals actually hardened, so they were preserved. Here it is today, the ruins of the palace up top, and so that's Medzar's excavation work. She's the one that located David's palace, and it sat on the top of the Milo, which was the retaining wall, this huge retaining wall. Mentioned in the Bible, Milo, and down below were the offices and royal archives. That's where they found these seals. And one bears the name of Gemariahu, Ben Shaphan. Gemariah in our Bible. Gemariah, this man is mentioned four times in Jeremiah 36. Four times. It was in his chamber in the temple that Barak read the words of Jeremiah's prophecy. And there his seal was found. Then read Barak in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe. And so the father's name is also mentioned on the seal, exactly the same. In the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. Jeremiah, Bible picture, Jeremiah dictating God's word to Barak. And another one that they found there has the name of Azariah ben Hilkiah. And he's mentioned in 1 Chronicles 9:11 as a member of the family of Zadok, the high priest before the temple was destroyed. He was there. And this is her husband, Elot's husband. He died in 1997. He also died young. But he's the one that transcribed and published the writing on those seals. And then in the 1930s, an archaeological team led by James Starkey discovered 21 letters written on pottery shards. Those are called ostraca, and a single one, ostracon. And that was common to use. Broken pottery was cheap, and they would use them at like a piece of paper. And they were very durable. And 21 letters they found near the gate. And when they were excavating the city of Lachish, this is a reconstructive drawing of what the city looked like in Jeremiah's day before Sennacherib destroyed it. And so here, in the scene where these letters were written was the cities are falling. And the military guards are in desperation. Here's the ruins today of Lachish, the ruins of the gate where these were found. And they were written, most of the letters were written by a military officer who was stationed there. And he's writing to his commanding officer in a different place. Here's Starkey at the Lachish excavations at the gate area. And these letters, here's some of them that are in the British Museum. But they describe the exact situation that we read about in Jeremiah 34, 7. When the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish and against Azekah, for these defense cities remained, the cities of Judah, they're all destroyed. Three little cities left plus Jerusalem. And these letters were written right then. They mention the names of people from the book of Jeremiah. Gemariah, Jezaniah, Barak, that was Jeremiah's scribe, Gedaliah, and Mattaniah, that was the king, the last king, Zedekiah. Their names written, mentioned in those letters by that military officer. Starkey was robbed and killed in 1938 by the Arabs. He was only 43 years old, but he's the one that found those things. And then in 2019, one of these little seals bearing the name of Nathan Melech was found. Nathan Melech found in a house that was destroyed by the Babylonians just north of the old David's palace, between the Temple Mount and David's palace. And in there, they found an old seal dating to the Babylonian destruction with the name of a royal officer that's mentioned. And he, King Josiah, took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. Josiah did in his revival. Jeremiah was there at that time. And there's the name of that royal officer. And so all these seals bearing names directly out of the scripture that they have unearthed. It is amazing evidence. Wonderful evidence. And that last seal was found south of the Temple Mount. In these digs, they're still digging a lot in that area, excavating things all the time, finding new things. And it was a two-story building that was burned by the Babylonians 2,600 years ago. They found that seal bearing the name of a man out of the Bible. The archaeologists, very hard work that men do to give us these treasures. The burning from the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And so there's the little seal. Nathan-Melech. Royal officer in the time of Jeremiah. All right. So that's the conclusion of this session. Introduction to Jeremiah.